If I look at the trajectory of our business, we absolutely would not have the business that we have today, nor the lifestyle that we have today without the systems that we have in our business. Like if I go back to 2012, when John first launched the podcast and was doing a daily podcast episode, and everybody told him, don't do that. You are crazy. You will burn out. You won't be able to keep up with that. Nobody can do a daily podcast successfully. And thankfully, John used that as fuel to do just that. And because of the systems that he had in place, it's not like he's jumping on the phone or on a Skype interview or Zoom recording with somebody every single day to do the interview. He's batch recording and he's scheduling things out and he's always a month ahead. And him setting up a system like that to create the podcast is what allowed him to create a large following, an audience who began to know, like, and trust him because he showed up every single day for them to provide value. He wasn't asking for anything. He was giving. He was giving just these incredible inspirational and motivational stories from the people that he was interviewing. And because of the audience following, he was able to get bigger guests. And because of the bigger guests, he could use the bigger guest names to get even bigger guests.
Welcome to the Anthropology Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Walker. As a former naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I align the intersection of personal performance, purpose, and innovative thinking in badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. Anthropology is the study and science of what makes an entrepreneur think, feel, and perform in a path compelled by a vision for helping others, solving problems, while building a life on your own terms. Together, we are exploring the health, mindset, and strategies that distinguish the world's best entrepreneurs. This is the Anthropology Podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 203. Today, I am joined by my friend, Kate Erickson. And Kate is the integrator behind the successful podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire. Kate is also the host of one of my favorite podcasts called Ditch Busy, because this woman is a master at creating systems and ways to help you manage your time so that you can ultimately create the freedom you are looking for in your life. You know, one of the things that I love about both Kate and John is that they are unapologetic about the fact that they want to build a business that enables them to live the life of their dreams, which includes the freedom to travel, which includes the freedom to enjoy all the things that they have been able to build together. And Kate and I have a really honest conversation today about the fact that moving closer to dreams and moving closer to freedom really requires that we have systems in place to enable us to grow the business that can have that happen. Kate is full of humor, insight, and experience, and it is truly my pleasure to introduce you to her today. Kate Erickson, welcome to the Anthropology Podcast.
Dr. Megan, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so delighted to have you. I was just sharing with you, I was out and about this morning listening to your podcast, and I appreciate it so much because I feel like even in the title of your podcast, Ditch Busy, it's so emblematic of my former life versus the life I'm trying to have now, and the strategies that you are dishing out are nonstop amazing. And so before we get into all of that, I'm wondering, Kate, if you can share with my listeners a little bit about your journey. We've been talking a lot about journeys lately and expectations around journeys and how long those take. Can you give everyone a little bit of a context in terms of how you ended up here today as a podcaster?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your kind words about Ditch Busy. I feel like I learn something new every time I hop on the mic. Sometimes, you know, just like talking out loud about the stuff that usually just stays up in your head. Like I have aha moments as well. So I'm really glad that you're enjoying it. Thanks for that. A little bit about me and how I got to be a podcaster. I grew up not an entrepreneur. I actually didn't even know what entrepreneurship was until I was about 28 years old. I very much followed the traditional path of like graduate high school, go to college, get a degree, then find a job that that degree serves and climb the corporate ladder. And so that was kind of like my version of success. And when I was about 28 years old, I moved into a new studio apartment in Pacific Beach, San Diego, California, and I moved in next door to a gentleman named John Lee Dumas. And we got together, we started dating, we moved to Maine together. He was working in commercial real estate, I was working in advertising and marketing. And one day he told me that he wanted to quit his career in commercial real estate to start a podcast. And this is like this is mid 2012. And I said, what's a podcast? And so that was kind of like how I was first introduced to podcasting, is when my boyfriend, significant other, living partner, said that he wanted to quit his job to start one. And not only did he want to start one, but he wanted to start a daily podcast. So I was like, okay, wow, you're really like, he had like such a clear vision and mission for what he wanted to do with this podcast that he would call Entrepreneurs on Fire. And here we are. I joined the team about 6 to 8 months post his idea for that. So in early 2013, I quit my job, I joined the team. And so I had largely worked behind the scenes of the podcast, doing all the content creation and systems and processes and email management and campaigns and funnels. And I do a lot of our community management. Today we run online communities and we have lots of incredible revenue streams, an amazing audience that we've been serving now for 8+ years. And I started a podcast because I was like, wow, I know so much about podcasting and I love the medium. I'm going to start my own podcast. So now I've actually had 2 podcasts. I've been podcasting myself since 2014. And here we are today.
Okay, so let's fast forward to 2020, because a whole decade has happened this year. And one of the questions I keep hearing from people is the podcast world saturated? Because everyone I know has started a podcast in 2020 because they can't go anywhere. So I would love to hear from you. And I'm like, Kate's the authority on these pieces. Where are we at with respect to podcasting? What advice would you give someone starting a podcast today? Because it is an entirely different space than it was when Entrepreneurs on Fire started.
100%. I agree with that statement wholeheartedly. Here's the thing. There are a lot of podcasts out there. What there is saturation on is broad topic podcasts that serve broad audiences. What is not saturated and where podcasters can win right now is by launching niche podcasts. So I'll give one example. We have someone in our podcasting community not only launched a single podcast around this, but has since created an entire network of podcasts about ballet, how to like do the perfect pirouette, or how to, you know, fill in the blank, like these very, very specific. We also have someone who has launched a knitting podcast where she talks about her love for knitting and how other people can pick up this amazing hobby. So a niche podcast like that, that serves a very specific audience and gives people joy or laughter or lessons or, ways to improve their life in very, very specific areas. That's where you can win in podcasting right now, because while it's huge, there are tons of podcasts, listenership, like those who know about a podcast right now, is still increasing like 3-5% year over year. And so the opportunity is huge right now because the awareness is going up, up, up.
Yeah, I think sometimes people forget that while simultaneously there are more people entering the podcast realm, there's a bigger number of people who are choosing it as a medium in which they can listen and absorb their media and have different conversations. And I see more and more people moving away from traditional media because it's so depressing.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That this is, we found that in a big way this year, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So I don't want to make this about podcasting. What I really want to delve into is this notion of entrepreneurship and the hustle of entrepreneurship. And I love the way that you do it. I was so excited when I had an opportunity to meet you the first time a few years ago. And I was like, oh, she's just so calm. You're running this huge business and you're just chilled out. And the thing I have learned in my journey as an entrepreneur is that those people who are most chilled out are usually those people with the strongest systems. And so it wasn't a surprise to me when I heard you were launching Ditch Busy, because I was like, man, this woman has got to have the most incredible systems on the planet when it comes to growing and scaling and building and realizing this entrepreneurial dream, because it really is a dream, right? It's not just about how much money can we make. It's how can we build a life that is actually in alignment with our values and where we want to go. How much of this is about your systems versus luck versus any other element that we might be missing?
So much of it is about systems. I mean, honestly, like if I look at the trajectory of our business, we absolutely would not have the business that we have today, nor the lifestyle that we have today, without the systems that we have in our business. Like if I go back to 2012, when John first launched the podcast and was doing a daily podcast episode, and everybody told him, don't do that. You are crazy. You will burn out. You won't be able to keep up with that. Nobody can do a daily podcast successfully. And thankfully, John used that as fuel to do just that. And because of the systems that he had in place, it's not like he's jumping on the phone or on a Skype interview or Zoom recording with somebody every single day to do the interview. He's batch recording and he's scheduling things out and he's always a month ahead. And him setting up a system like that to create the podcast is what allowed him to create a large following, an audience who began to know, like, and trust him because he showed up every single day for them to provide value. He wasn't asking for anything. He was giving. He was giving just these incredible inspirational and motivational stories from the people that he was interviewing. And because of the audience following, he was able to get bigger guests. And because of the bigger guests, he could use the bigger guest names to get even bigger guests. And when it got to the point where he's like, okay, now I have an audience who's coming to me with a pain point and telling me, you know, I feel alone on my journey. I want to be an entrepreneur and I get inspiration and motivation from listening to your show, but like, none of my friends are entrepreneurs. My family thinks I'm crazy for wanting to quit my job and do this. And his idea, after receiving, you know, emails and social media messages like that over and over and over again, was like, I've got to create a platform so that I can provide the space for people to come together. If they are feeling alone, I need to help them not feel alone. And so because of the systems he had set up for the podcast, because the production of the podcast wasn't like his everyday all day, he was able to work on the business instead of in the business. He was able to create a platform like that. We created a mastermind and we ran that mastermind for 2.5 years. And it was up to 100. We capped it actually at 100 members because we wanted to keep it like to the point where everybody felt like they knew each other. You know, it was very manageable for us. Once we started creating systems around that, we were able to create another community. And once we created that community and we were able to create systems around that, you know, then we were able. And so it has been a stepladder for us. Every time we've created something, we've mastered it by creating a system around it. And that system has allowed us the freedom and the space to say, okay, what else can we do? But without those systems, you will constantly be stuck inside the production of your podcast or the management of your community or whatever it might be, you know, inside like serving clients in a practice or whatever it might be for you. Without systems, you will constantly be stuck in the day-to-day of that. And again, you won't ever give yourself that time and that space to create new stuff, to have new ideas, to brainstorm better ways of doing things. So it has been absolutely critical to the success of our business and where we're at today.
Was it inherent to you to be a systems person, or to both of you, frankly?
You know, I think inherent is probably like a stronger word than I would use. I mean, I do look back on my childhood and I recognize like how organized I was and like frankly a little obsessive with like everything having its place. But I don't think John was like that. I mean, I think a lot of that came from his military background. I think a lot of it came from the discipline of like, you know, being an ROTC when he was in college and not really having like this traditional college experience of like wake up when I want, study when I want, party when I want. But like he had a very rigid schedule and was expected to show up at a certain And, you know, he was, because of his ranking in the army, and like he led a platoon in Iraq, like shortly after 9/11. So, I mean, I think there are certain events in each of our lives that have kind of led us to the systems and the discipline and the focus that we have in the business. But I absolutely think that even if you don't feel like you yourself are a systems person and you don't dig the organizational stuff and you don't want to pay attention to like the minutiae, you can always find somebody to be a part of your team who can do that. Like, we should be in our zone of genius, right? We should be in our, what we like to call it, your zone of fire, where you perform at your highest and your best when you're doing a certain thing. And if for you that isn't systems, then you need to find somebody who is that, whether it's like on a contract basis or, you know, help you implement it. And then once it's running, you just have to maintain it.
Yeah. And I want my listeners to know that this was where I ask people always at the end of my podcast, you know, are you inherently an entrepreneur? Are we inherently entrepreneurs? You'll hear it when we get there. Or do we learn to become that? I'm that person who learned to love systems because I would hit these ceilings of complexity within my business and my life. And every single time I did that, when I'd step back and go, what's going on here? I was like, you don't have a system to take you to the next level. So last year we spent a better part of the year, and I hired the right people to do this, implementing all of our systems, creating standard operating procedures around everything, because we recognize that this behind the scenes thing was holding us back. And my gut reaction to this had always been, there is a lack of freedom and flow and flexibility if I'm stuck adhering to these rigid systems. And you can hear all the limiting beliefs in that statement, but I sat there for so long. I was like, my gift is the ability to dream up these things. And then I realized I was hitting this ceiling where I couldn't dream anymore because I was drowning in organizational debt. It's like email debt. It's just, it's all of the to-dos that you can't keep on top of. So I just felt it's really important to acknowledge for my listeners that like, that is not where I was. However, the thing that I realized this year is in putting these systems in play and being really disciplined around sticking to them, it has created way more freedom. And I love that you talk about that in your podcast. You're like freedom seekers. I'm like, oh, this woman is speaking the truth. But you have to step over a threshold. I think some of us have to step over a threshold to realize that systems actually mean freedom.
That like everything that you just laid out and the way that you just feelings like before and after, like recognizing that you needed the systems, then actually starting to put them in place and asking for help with implementation, and that full recognition that, like, I say this on my podcast so much, because when I talk about like scheduling your time and time management and productivity, so many people come to me and say, but I don't want to like adhere to a schedule. And I say, no. What you're not understanding is that you not adhering to a schedule, you just haphazardly like saying yes to things and doing things whenever you feel like it, that is why you have not achieved freedom in your life. And I absolutely agree with you that systems is so much, it works in the same way, that systems are what create the freedom for you. So like all you have to do is set them up and get them running and they will serve you for years.
100. Even as you were saying that, when you were talking about, you can't just do things willy-nilly, in my head I was like, you're not 14, Megan. Like, yeah. You need to adult here and create systems around it. And even our director of operations, I said, it is, and it's in her contract, I'm like, it is your job description to hold me accountable to the system. So if I'm like, we're going to create this, and she's like, we don't have time for it, I said, it's your job to make sure we don't execute on it, because it's not helpful to where we're going and our mission and the strategy all these people have helped us develop if I'm falling back into that zone. And it's worked really well to give her that additional layer of empowerment to hold me accountable to the system so that we can continue to grow.
Oh my goodness. I just love how you're just like serving up value bomb after value bomb for your audience right now. Like the talking about the limiting beliefs that come up, because like these are, when we say things like that, those are limiting beliefs. Like, oh, if I schedule something, then that means that I don't have time for creativity. Like, that is something that you believe. It's not the truth. And, you know, talk. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I love it. This is the kind of stuff that like gets me so fired up. I love talking about this stuff.
Right. Because it's kind of like I'm not. So I'll back up. It's reminding me of people who all meditate and then they start to talk about meditation. They're like, oh, my gosh, it changed my life. And until you've crossed the meditation threshold, if you're on the outside of the meditation club, you're like, I don't know if I can sit there for an hour. But yet anyone who crosses that threshold is like, I'll never go back. And I find the same thing about people who have created strong systems and guiding principles in their business. They're like, oh, my gosh, like once I've crossed that threshold, I'm never going back. Like it really does. It does afford that level of freedom. I want to back up and I want to delve into this notion of truths a little bit, because a conversation I've been having lately with a number of people in my mastermind and members of our community is really what it takes to get into that momentum zone. And you referred to that when you were talking about the journey of Entrepreneurs on Fire. You're like, you know, it started with this batch recording and this daily podcast, and then we got bigger people, and then we got bigger people, and there was a slow building. And I find sometimes there's a mismatch in terms of the amount of time and effort or resources that are going to be required to get into that momentum zone in a business. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like on the ground in a total truth sense to get to that place where you started to have momentum in the business?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll speak to it from, you know, because I was on the sideline, so to speak, of John starting and you know, creating this platform, this foundation for the business. And what I saw was, wow, like I know I wake up early to get my workout in because that is a critical part of my day. I will wake up at whatever time it takes to be able to get that in before I have to, you know, get ready for work and go into an office and do that whole thing. I mean, I would wake up sometimes at like 5:30 in the morning, and John had been up in his like loft office studying podcasting for like an hour already. And I thought like, gosh, what is he doing up there for so long? And like every morning when he'd get out of bed, like he'd just be so excited about it. And like, I think that momentum can a lot of times be built faster when you're passionate about what you're doing. Like I saw him gain that momentum and that traction in big part because of the action that he was taking, but also because of like the excitement, the passion that he felt for what he was doing. And I think that sometimes people miss that because they're either chasing money or they're chasing, you know, a definition of success that like in with themselves probably isn't super in line with, you know, what they truly want in their lives. And without taking that step back and truly asking yourself, like, not just what do I want right now, but like, what do I want for my future, for my family's future, for my business, for all of the, like, what do I want my days to look like? Because, you know, we've been there in our business where we got to a point where we're like, wait a second, we're kind of like going on a path right now to creating a business that like is not even the type of business that we want. And a lot of people miss that fork in the road and they end up, you know, miserable being run by their business versus running their business. And I think that, again, so a lot of that momentum, you know, it took a lot of really hard work. I mean, to be honest, when I was like, wow, John is just like, he's spending so much time doing this. He's up before me. He's, you know, in the morning, he's up super late at night. It's all he talks about. He's like buying tickets to fly to New York to go to events and conferences. And like, he comes back and he tells me that he meets all these people and he has follow-up calls with them and he's doing all this stuff. But I'm like, wow, it's so much work. That's what I thought back then. And it was a lot of work. It was a lot of dedication, a lot of time, and a lot of energy and effort when, you know, honestly, maybe sometimes he didn't really feel like it, but his vision of what he wanted his life to look like and what he wanted the business to look like, he knew that that was required to get there. And so he did it no matter what. Like, not, I don't feel like showing up today. Like, okay, maybe I don't feel like showing up today, but I'm going to anyways for my future self, for my future business.
I love this. I heard so many times in there, it was a must. Which is, I find this powerful, it's just such a powerful motivator when you don't feel like doing it anymore, when you have that clarity of vision. I said to someone a few years ago at an event, I was speaking and I was just talking about laying out your strategic plan. And she put her hand up and she was like, I hear you on this, but how do I actually just really grow my business in the next 6 months? Because I feel like I've been dabbling at it for a long time. And I said to her, I'm like, do you have a partner? And she said, yes. And I said, do they love what they do in their career? And she's like, not really. And I said, then why don't you go home and give them permission to resign from their position and you'll carry it from here. And she looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, here's the thing. Unless what you're doing and putting out into the world is a must for you, and it doesn't have to be a financial must. It can be an emotional must. It can be a commitment to the vision must. You're not going to put your head down in those unremarkable days where you're following up on calls and doing all of these other people or all these other pieces. And I loved hearing that in your description of the journey of your business, because it's the truth of what it takes to build something incredible.
Yeah. We actually started calling this the baby effect, because we had so many guests on the podcast that John started out for the first 2000 episodes of the podcast. He asked his guests the same questions every single time. And one of those questions was like, how did you turn your, or what was your aha moment? Like after you hit failure, what was your aha moment and how did you turn that into success? And so many entrepreneurs say that their aha moment was when they were about to become a parent, whether it was a mother or a father, and that they were finally put in a position to where it was like, no, you're either going to do this or you're not. Mm-hmm. Like your back's up against the wall. Because there's so much like fear and unknown and imposter syndrome in what we do as entrepreneurs. And so it's always going to be really easy for us to talk ourselves out of doing anything because we're scared, because we don't know if it's going to work, because we don't know what people think, because what if we fail? Because what if, like, you know, what if, what if, what if? Like, you've got to find your moment where it's not what if anymore. It's like, I am going to do this. And okay, like certainly plan for like a worst case scenario and have a plan B, but stop asking yourself, what if? Just like do the thing that you want to do that's going to get you to where you want to go.
Just do the thing and make the systems as you're building the empire. On that notion of systems, Kate, do you have some guiding principles that you're like, gosh, I just wish every entrepreneur knew that these three things need to be in place or these five things need to be in place?
I mean, really for me, when it comes to systems, like it's all about what I think is so valuable for every entrepreneur, no matter what stage of your journey you're in, is the very first step that I always share to creating a system in your business. And that's taking inventory. Taking inventory is understanding very clearly exactly how you are spending your time, because only then do you start to recognize and identify what you do repeatedly. So taking inventory is spending an entire week with a sheet of paper by your side, and every time you work on something, you document what it is that you're working on. What task was it? How long did you spend doing it? What day is it? You know, this is very simple, right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if you work on the weekends, and just start writing down everything that you do in a day. And not only is this going to help you recognize how you're spending your time, because I know I'm not alone in like finishing the day and being like, wow, I did so much today. And then someone's like, oh, what'd you do? And you're like, what did I do? You know, this is a very great exercise for actually showing yourself how it is you're spending your time so that you can start cutting stuff that really does not matter. But then it's also going to help you identify those repetitive things. And the lowest hanging fruit when you're creating systems is finding out what you're doing repeatedly on a daily or a weekly basis. A lot of the times, like some of my huge systems that I would not be able to live without is my email management system, is my calendar system, is my social media system, because these are all the things, like what did you call it before? You said something about email debt. Email debt. Okay. Yes. I mean, every single one of us has experienced that in the past or likely
daily,
is experiencing it right now. Yeah. You are going into your inbox first thing in the morning and then you're stuck in there all day, or you're going on social media to just check one thing and an hour later you're still there. Like, creating systems around these types of things not only helps you like start to hold yourself accountable to not being on social media for an hour but being on there for 10 minutes, but it also helps you make more meaningful progress in those areas faster so that you have more time to focus on getting more clients, growing your practice, like improving your craft, getting that next license or certification that you need, like whatever that might be. So yeah, I would say systems for just the day-to-day things that right now are probably taking up a majority of your time and should be taking up a minority of your time.
I was smiling as you said that because I had this day as the recovering non-systems person in my office a few years ago where I was like, I can't do all the things anymore. And I had two kids and I was pregnant with my third. And I was like in my medical office, I printed off a diet diary and I wrote down everything I did for a week. And then I highlighted things in yellow that only I could do. And I highlighted things in pink that someone else really could do with some training. And it was that pivotal moment for me where I was like, the pink stuff's all got to go. Because it was just holding me back. So I was smiling as you were saying that because I was like, oh, it is so foundational, that piece. Like, such solid advice. Mm. And then really selfishly, Kate, I'm like, can you like give us some examples of your email system?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so my number one rule is that email is never the first thing that I do. It just can't be. The very first thing that I work on every single morning is what Brian Tracy will say, eat that frog, or, you know, there's lots of different sayings for basically using your best bandwidth and productivity time first thing. The biggest and most difficult thing that you need to do that day. So I'm kind of getting like into other things other than email, but I feel like that's important to say because I think that a majority of people probably just automatically, without even thinking about it, go into their email inbox first thing in the morning. Stop doing that. Don't do it. And then, so for my email system, I have times, set times, literal timers for my email management. So that's step one, is like maybe starting with two different times during the day that you're going to be in your inbox and setting a timer to hold yourself accountable. So maybe you start off with like, I mean, this really just depends on like how many emails you manage, but let's say you choose like 12:30 to 1 and then like 4:30 to 5 are your inbox checkpoints. Then once you're in your inbox, what I do, part of my system is, well, a big part of my system is the tools that I use. So tools that I use in my email every single time are Boomerang for Gmail. And if you don't use Gmail, there are similar tools for like Outlook and other programs. So you can just Google like Boomerang for and then whatever email client you use. Boomerang is fantastic because it allows you to schedule emails to send at a later time, which keeps your inbox clearer longer. Because when you get into email ping pong, when like you reply to an email and then the other person is like, ooh, Dr. Megan's available right now, I'm going to email her right back. And then, you know, you just keep going back and forth and back and forth because you're like, I really want to get to inbox zero. But Boomerang allows you to craft an email response, but then tell it to send in 4 hours, in 24 hours, in 2 days. And the beautiful thing about Boomerang is it also allows you, well, as the name suggests, bring emails back to you. So I'm big on follow-up. It's a huge part of, you know, the job that I do here, what I do, you know, for our community and for our business. And so me following up on things, really important. I check a box and I tell Boomerang to send an email back to me if I haven't gotten a response in 1 day, 2 days, 1 week, whatever time period I choose. So Boomerang's a huge part of my system because it allows me to knock it into that email ping pong. Also, templates inside of, they used to be called canned responses in Gmail. Now they call them templates, but it's essentially common responses that you find yourself emailing all the time. You can create a template out of it so that you don't have to type it all over again. So that's a great tool to use if you are, you know, doing a similar response to, like, say, people inviting you to speak at their event, or people asking for your availability, or, you know, trying to deliver something that you've promised to a large part of your audience, whatever it might be. And then the last tool that is a huge part of my system is Text Expander. So much like canned responses or templates, Text Expander allows you to create snippets. And so sentences, paragraphs, your email address, your sign off, you can create just like short keys that will expand that text. So you're not having to type the text out. You just type like, you know, three keys and it will expand to whatever you would, like your sign off or maybe your email opening or whatever that might be. So that's like the tool side of things. Now you're probably like, oh man, I got Kate going on our system and
I am loving this. I just want you to know I'm sitting here, I'm like, this is gold.
Okay. Yay. Okay. So that's like the tool side of my system. So the first part of the system is the timing and the accountability. The second part of the system is the tools that I use. And then the third part is having categories for my emails. So I'm actually not super into, you know, creating rules and everything. I know a lot of people do that probably very successfully. For me, it's just, and that's what I'll say about systems too. Like, your system should be unique to what works for you. Like, just because I do something a certain way or somebody else does something a certain way doesn't mean that that's exactly what your system has to look like. Because I'm sure there's probably a lot of people that use flags and labels and like all this other stuff to organize their emails. I actually don't do that, but I know that like, there are some emails that I can answer with a text expander or a canned response, and it's going to take me 15 seconds. And there are some emails that I'm going to have to do research for, and it might take me, you know, a half an hour to do that research. And then there are some emails that I can immediately delegate, and it literally takes me like zero time. So think about like the different buckets that you could put your emails into figuratively. Like if you wanted to actually create buckets or folders or labels or whatever, you could do that too. But I'm speaking figuratively when I say that. And like for me, that just mentally helps me get through my inbox so much faster, because every time I open an email, even subconsciously at this point, I'm putting it into one of my buckets. Can I answer this in less than 15 seconds with a text expander or a canned response? If yes, I just do it right then. Can I delegate this to one of my team members immediately? And if yes, I do it right then. Or is this an email that, you know, is going to take me 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour to like go research and find like different things that I need to include in this? And if so, it then becomes a project for me. So it becomes either something that I'm going to prioritize and do that day when I get out of my email inbox time, or it becomes a task in my Asana. I use Asana as a task and project management system. So if it becomes that, I'm going to boomerang it for the day that I'm actually going to work on it. And I'm going to create a task for myself in Asana to remind me like, oh, you need to follow up on that thing. So I kind of have like a backup, you know, I'm going to boomerang the email so I get the email again, and I'm going to create the task for myself based on my priority and what else I have going on.
How much time will you spend in your inbox on any given day?
An hour, maybe.
Okay. I think that's the thing. I love when you were like, I just set a timer, and when the timer is done, I'm done with this piece, because it's, while there's important elements in that inbox, it could be a full-time job if you wanted it to be.
100%. And there's going to be like, there will be days when you're working on a specific project or you're doing client work, or, you know, some days you might spend 3 hours in your inbox because of what your priority and your focus and your project and your task is. It might involve you being in email more for any given reason, but just as like an overall, like everyday thing, like you shouldn't be in your inbox for, it just shouldn't rule your day is what I'm saying. I'll fully admit that there are some days that I'm in my inbox way longer than an hour, but it's because of a given project that I'm working on that would require me to be communicating with other team members, contractors, et cetera.
Yeah, and I think it's actually really valuable, though, to give people a benchmark, because I find so often we talk about these things conceptually. Meanwhile, listeners are like, I know, but just like, how long are you in your inbox for? I just need to know that one thing so that we have some, is this like 4 hours, 2 hours? So I actually find that's really helpful with that caveat on the backside. And really, what I love about your podcast, Kate, and the work that you are doing is that it really is in alignment with this notion of creating a business that is in acknowledgement and in alignment with the life that you want to build. There's not one way to do it, but there's this really incredible thing that happens when you have clarity around that vision. And so you do that so exceptionally well. So thank you for your work in that respect.
I really appreciate that. And I hope that anyone tuning in, like, really do a 15-second rewind right now. Like what you just said about your days and your actions and your tasks and your priority being in alignment with how you want to be living your life. Like, you have to check in with yourself on that, because otherwise it's way too easy to get caught up in the day-to-day stuff of running a business, and weeks will go by and you wonder why you're not any closer to your goal. And it's because you're not checking in with yourself and holding yourself accountable to having your daily actions, your priority, the way that you are spending your time. It has to be in alignment with how you want to be living your life, or else you will never get there.
Boom. Look at that mic drop. I love it. And I think this is a perfect place to transition the interview, Kate. And so we have a section of our interview called our KPIs. So just like we have key performance indicators in our business, I believe that we have them in how we choose to live our lives as well. So I've got some rapid fire questions for you, if you'll hang out for five more. First question, what's the most impactful book or conversation that you have read or had during the pandemic?
Essentialism is the most impactful book that I've read probably for like the eighth time during the pandemic. So I didn't originally find out about it during the pandemic, but I have read it again in that time because it is such an incredible, foundational, grounding, amazing book about time management and how you spend your time. So Essentialism, it's by Greg McKeown.
I love it. I was actually talking to one of our communities about it last week. So I love that. I love that we're in alignment there. Thanks. What is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
Working out. I work out every single day, even if it's just going for a walk. Like, I get up and I get out. That's my workout motto. Get up, get out.
I love it. And I love watching you on Peloton. I'm like, is Kate on? We got to do a ride together.
I know. Seriously, we totally have to. I've been loving the holiday rides. I'm waiting for my girl Leanne Hainsby to get one up, though. She hasn't had one yet this year.
I know. I keep hitting personal bests on the holiday rides. And I don't think that's why they were created. But I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm in the mode.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm with you.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
That's an awesome question. What's something badass about me that other people wouldn't know? I shouldn't be so stumped on this.
I know, but it catches everyone off guard, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I mean, I'm like, things are coming to mind about like my past, but like, I guess right now, current day, I'm really proud of myself because I've started this like weightlifting journey, not like competitively or super intensely, but like that was actually one area of my fitness where I love cardio. Like, get me on the Peloton bike. I love running. I've just never really been a weights person. So I hired a virtual trainer. I've been working with him for, gosh, probably a year and a half now. And something that I have never, ever been able to do until this year is chin-ups. I can do 8 chin-ups now.
Whoa, way to go. Okay, that's badass. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm really proud of it because like when I started this weightlifting journey, I told him, Jeff is my virtual trainer. I said, Jeff, I want to do chin-ups. Pull-ups will be next, but chin-ups, like, I have to get there because it was one of those things when they did fitness tests in school and everything. I'm like sitting there struggling. I'm like, why can't I do these? I feel like I'm supposed to be able to do these. So yeah, it feels pretty great to be able to do them now.
That's amazing. What do you do for fun or play?
Well, we got a puppy not too long ago, so love roughhousing with him. I play tennis. I really love tennis a lot. Yeah, those are probably two top things that come to mind.
And last question for you, Kate. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think we learn to become entrepreneurs. I definitely wasn't born an entrepreneur. I absolutely think that there are ways to learn to become an entrepreneur.
Well, and you have just shared with us so many ways that we can learn to be an entrepreneur with access to freedom. Kate Erickson, you are a super amazing influence on my life, and I know so many others. Where can we send people to learn more about the work you're up to?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything we do is over at eofire.com. And I so appreciate you having me on today. Thank you to everyone tuning in. And yeah, I just love connecting with you.
Aw, thanks, Kate. Have an amazing day.
Okay, you too.
Anthropology is the study and science of what makes entrepreneurs tick. It's the confluence of the mindset, strategic thinking, and health that we bring to the table as contributors, as purpose seekers, as individuals building out a better tomorrow. The work that we do on the Anthropology podcast impacts the mindset, the business tactics, and the health of those individuals who are working hard to change the world, to leave a legacy for the future. The best way that we can reach more people with the message of the Anthropology podcast is if you help us share it. If the message that we shared in today's episode is something that resonates with you, or if you know someone who would benefit from hearing it, please send it to them directly. And if you have felt moved by the content that we have shared, I would love it if you could leave a review wherever it is that you pick up your podcast. Until next week, live life on, in, and with purpose. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker, and I will talk to you real soon.